everything in the precious and the most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. I want us today to look at defining encounters that happen in our life. I know that in my life there have been some defining moments. There have been moments that have changed the direction of my life. There have been defining decisions in my life that I made and that just totally changed the direction of my life. But there's also been divine encounters, people that I have come across in life that have changed who I was and changed the direction that I was going. Maybe today you can relate to that. Has there ever been a defining decision in your life that you had to make that changed who you were? Changed the direction you were going? Maybe there has been that. Can you recall that divining time in your life that you came across someone and you had that moment, that encounter? Can you recollect an encounter in your life that was defining to who you are today? And that's what I want us to do today. I want us to look at a man that had some divine decisions and moments and encounters in his life that totally changed his life forever, changed his direction, his outlook, his perspective. And his name is Zacchaeus. Would you take this morning and open your copy of God's Word with me to the Gospel according to Luke in the New Testament? That's Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Luke 19, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 10. And as you're turning there, I want to give you a little bit of information about this. Out of all of the Gospels, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that each tell stories. Some overlap, some tell the other. But this divine encounter between Jesus and Zacchaeus is only recorded in the Gospel according to Luke. Something else about this that we need to know is that it tells us at the beginning of Luke that Luke studied all of these things. He talked to the other disciples or those disciples, and he gathered information, but it tells us that he wrote his book in consecutive order. Not to make you think that I think anything less of you or anything. I mean, consecutive order means he wrote them in the order that they happened. Not saying he recorded everything, but what he was led by Holy Spirit to record, he recorded, and he recorded it in order. And that's important to know, because if you look at the end of Luke chapter 18, you will find that Bartimaeus receives his sight. So what do we know? That following what we looked at last week, Bartimaeus receives his sight. And then we come across this encounter that Zacchaeus encounters Jesus. Would you stand with me this morning in honor of God's Word as we look into His Word? Luke 19, beginning verse 1. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Hold the slide right there for me. That verse, verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost, is the key theme of all of the book of Luke. But I believe we can take it broader. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost is the defining verse of Jesus' entire life and entire ministry. Right there. And we're going to see that unfold today. You may be seated. Father God, I ask now, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our eyes and our minds to you. Father, that you would just settle me down, Lord. You would help me to step out of the way. And that I may be here today as a mouthpiece for you. Speak through me. Speak to me. For your servants are listening. And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious and most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen. Tells us right there that this happened in Jericho. What do we know about Jericho? Jericho was about, we said last week, about 15 miles north of Jerusalem. Jesus has made his way down from up in the north area that he was at, come down, crossed over the Jordan, and within a few miles or so, he's come to Jericho, and we knew that he was passing through Jericho, we saw last week, and as he was passing through, it tells us here that he entered Jericho and was passing through. Now, I'm going to need you, if you're taking notes this morning, to help me, because I began to work with an outline that you have in your bulletin, and while getting dressed, it began to change just a little bit. So I'm going to use both of these, so you're going to have to write a little bit more than normal. But the first thing I want us to see that I think it's telling us in Scripture is that Zacchaeus was sought by Jesus. He was sought by Jesus. But what we actually have is a defining decision in Zacchaeus' life. In our life, we have many and multiple defining decisions. First of all, Zacchaeus had a defining decision to be a choice to be a tax collector. Look at verse 2. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Now this morning, I almost thought about having Nicole stay down here just a moment, because I know that in many of your minds, you can't get out that little song. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. I'm not going to try to sing it for you this morning, but let's just acknowledge that it's there and let's set that aside so that we can hear the story of what's actually happening. What we have is we have a man who made a defining decision to become a tax collector. Sounds like no big deal. Maybe if it's a good thing, because he said he was a tax collector. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. All of us would probably say we'd like to be rich, at least have a little bit of extra money after we pay the bills. You know, that check comes in, and you go down to the bank sometimes, and I give the check to the bank, and they said, how do you want that back? I said, it really doesn't matter, because it's leaving my hand going to somebody else's, right? So he was rich. Is there something bad about that? He was rich at what expense? A tax collector was not a liked person at all. A tax collector is one who had made a decision to collect the taxes for the Roman government. They were considered as traitors among their own people, because not only did they collect the taxes for the Roman government, and if I'm the first one to tell you, I don't know any of us in this room that liked the tax collector today. But in their day, as a tax collector, that was their living. Not only did they collect the taxes for the Roman government, they added to it for themselves, and not just a little bit. Usually it was an absorbent amount of money that they attached onto there. So the first decision that he made, defining decision, was to that to be of a chief tax collector. And then we see that his second decision was he tried to see Jesus. Maybe he's getting a little better here. Look at verse 3. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. He made a defining decision to see Jesus. Let's travel just a little bit with me, okay? Zacchaeus, it tells us, is small in stature. He was probably a short man. He was a tax collector, which means he was loved by everyone, right? No, he was hated by everyone. But here is Zacchaeus. He has heard that Jesus was coming. Everyone is making their way to Jerusalem. It would be the pilgrimage. They were making their way to Jerusalem for the Passover, and Jesus was going on along with them. So you have all the people of the town of Jericho there. You have all of the others that are traveling, and they're making their way down the way. They've just seen Jesus, who healed a blind man. And it begins to stir up a lot of commotion that was going on. It tells us that he couldn't see because of the crowd. Picture this, the little short man, unliked by everyone else, all the crowds going, everybody's moving. Do you know what's happening? The noise is roaring. You can't hardly hear anything because everybody's talking about what he's doing. They're on the dirt roads of that day, so I'm sure the dust is all flying up. They didn't have the nice paved roads that we do. And they're moving around, and with all this commotion, all the hype and all the excitement, Zacchaeus wants to just get a glimpse of who Jesus is. And the more he tries, the harder he pushes, the more they push him back because he's little. The more that they're worried about themselves, the more they don't like him, the further he gets pushed back. And here's this little man that just wants to see a glimpse of Jesus. But because of defining decisions in his life to be a tax collector, no one wants him there. They're all pushing him back. The dirt is all being stirred up, a loud noise. He can't even hear. He can't see what's going on. But aren't you grateful that we don't have just one decision in life? He had another decision. He had a defining decision to see Jesus, regardless of what was happening. And his third defining decision was that to run on ahead. Look at verse 4. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, for he was about to pass that way. No big deal. Leave little Zacchaeus alone. He wanted to see Jesus, so he stopped long enough to think, I can't see it around here. Nobody wants to see. I'm just going to run on down the road. I'm going to get ahead of him, and I'm going to climb up into a tree. Do you know what defining decision he had to run on ahead cost him? In that day and time, men did not run. We've learned that in the story of the parable of the prodigal son. When the father ran to see him, men didn't run. It wasn't what you did. It wasn't polite. It wasn't the norm of the culture. But he made a defining decision, regardless of that, to run on ahead. You know what else? He made a defining decision to not worry about his dignity because he wants to see Jesus. He climbs a tree, another thing men didn't do. You don't just climb the tree. Remember, they wore robes. They didn't have pants. I'll let you use some imagination there. But it's not what you did. It wasn't dignified. But he says, I want to see Jesus. And he made a defining moment to climb that tree. It tells us, your translation might say sycamore tree. It might say fig tree. It might say fig-mulberry tree. But what we do know is this tree would produce a fruit, and it was usually known as the poor man's tree because it's what the poor people would go and be able to glean off of and eat. Well, guess what? Zacchaeus was a rich man. He has gone against cultural norm by a defining decision to run ahead, give up his dignity to climb up into a tree to see Jesus. And he climbs up in the sycamore tree. The great thing about the sycamore tree is it would have big limbs down close to the ground. And guess what that's good for? Little short men that can't reach the tall limbs. He was able to get on there. Now imagine all of the dust, all of the noise. He's run on ahead of this. It's probably warm. He's sweating. The dust is flying. The dirt's all over his face. He begins to take his fingers and his toes and dig into this tree and climb up. And I can just picture a limb going out as Jesus is coming by. And he goes out there and he's just hanging there, sweat dripping off of him. All he wants is to see Jesus. He made a defining decision because he thought that he was seeking Jesus. But truth be known, he was sought by Jesus. What do I mean by that? Turn with me to John chapter 6. Over to your right just a little bit. John chapter 6, verse 44. Jesus is speaking to the Jews, and he says this, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day." What is that saying? Let me tell you what, church, regardless of what anybody says, no one in their right mind and no one in the flesh chooses to go after Jesus. It's against what our sin nature is. But praise the Lord, we have a God who loves us and he pursues us. He put these defining decisions in Zacchaeus's mind, but Zacchaeus had to make the decision to follow through with these defining decisions. He made the choice to be a tax collector. But now he's making a decision to see Jesus. And it doesn't end there. The second thing that I believe we see out of here is that he is seen by Jesus. That's what's on your page. Seen by Jesus. But I want you to put here that he had a defining moment. You see, he was seen by Jesus. And that caused a defining moment in his life when he was seen by Jesus. Look back at Luke 19, verse 5. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." Here is the man that no one sees most of the time. It's a tax collector. They don't want to see him. Here's the one that's shoved back by everyone else, pushed aside, get out of the way, can't see, too small to see Jesus. But because of defining decisions in his life, he is now seen by the one he wanted to see. Dangling off that tree, dirty, sweaty, probably going like the rest of us would if we ran very far at all. And he's dangling there, just hoping to get a glimpse of who Jesus was, when Jesus notices him. Jesus stops in the middle of this journey. He's on his way to the Passover. All of the hype, all the hoopla, all the noise, all the attention, everything's on him. He's done some miracles. All eyes are looking on him. Everybody's talking. All the noise is going on. And Jesus stops in the middle of this and looks up. And he sees wee little Zacchaeus. He sees more than Zacchaeus. He sees his heart. What does he do? He says, Zacchaeus, come on down, for today I'm going to your house. Sounds pretty common, right? Jesus sees Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come down. Who? Zacchaeus. Did you catch that? Jesus called him by name. This isn't one of Jesus' buddies. Jesus has probably never encountered him before. But he stops right there and he looks up at this wet man from sweat and dirt and filth dangling in the tree and calls him by name. Zacchaeus, come down. And then it tells us that Zacchaeus received him with joy, received him, it says there, with the joy of what was going on. And we see that Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus' house. Jesus, the prominent leader, the prophet, the miracle worker, has invited himself to the tax collector's house. Oh no. What is that going to do? Why did Jesus invite himself to the tax collector's house? Two things. Quickly, one of them, remember what Jesus' life verse was there? If we had to pick one, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. But he wanted to go to Zacchaeus' house because he didn't see Zacchaeus the tax collector. He didn't see Zacchaeus because of a defining decision that he made that made him an outcast. No, God looks beyond and he sees into the heart of who he was. 1 Samuel 16:7, let me read this to you. When Samuel was called by God to go and to anoint the next king, he sent him and he's going through all the sons and all of these good-looking people. And listen to what is said at verse 7, 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. He's rejected all of these others. He said, for God sees not a man sees. For man looks at the what? The outward appearance. But the Lord looks at the heart. Amen? You glad that the Lord looks at the heart? It's not all about our defining decisions that we've made. It's about the defining decisions at hand and the defining moments that we have. You see, Zacchaeus was sought by Jesus. He had defining decisions in his life. Zacchaeus was seen by Jesus because he had divine moments. But thirdly, we see that he was saved by Jesus, or you can write in there, defining encounters. Because of his decision to put everything else aside and to go and to try to see Jesus, Jesus saw him and changed his life forever. We see in these next few verses that Zacchaeus received him gladly. We see in verse 7 that they began to grumble amongst themselves. This loud roar changed into probably a quiet hush, grumbling. How in the world is Jesus going to a sinner's house? Well, all of us are sinners, right? I'm glad Jesus has come to my house. Jesus went because of what he saw in Zacchaeus' heart. And we see that Zacchaeus was saved. Why do you say that, preacher? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's skip verse 8 for just a minute and jump down to verse 9. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. See, Zacchaeus was saved. We know that it wasn't just something that happened, but that he was saved, because now let's go back up to verse 8, where it says, Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. Church, that is the evidence of Zacchaeus' salvation. Let me tell you what, it is not works that he did to become saved. He could have done all that and it would not have changed his life one bit. But it is the evidence of that work. Let me just read to you real quickly out of Ephesians chapter 2. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in him." It clearly states that our salvation is not by works. Philippians tells us that we're to work out our salvation. Church, let me tell you what. When Christ sees you and he calls you personally by name and you make the defining decision to receive him because of the divine appointment that you had set with him, your life changes, and the result is your attitude changes, your actions change. He did something different. He no longer worshiped money. Remember, he was a rich man. Not only was he a rich man, he was a tax collector. But guess what? He loved money so much, he was more than a tax collector. It tells us he was the chief tax collector. He had people working underneath him. That probably means he was good at what he did. But because Jesus saw him and not what everyone else saw, and Jesus stopped and called him by name, it changed his life. And he was now different. He didn't worship money. He says, "I'm going to give half of everything I have to the poor." Let me tell you what. If he was a chief tax collector that was rich, he probably had some money for his day. And to give half of that, I'll be honest with you, ouch, that hurts. But not only that, we see more. We begin to get a picture into his heart. He says that if I have defrauded anyone, I'll give back four times as much. You go over into the Old Testament law, there was a process that you went through for restoration. A process that you went through for that restoration, it was called restitution. When you were taking your offering, you would go and you would restore. Certain things required one-fifth. Whatever you had taken or whatever had happened, plus one-fifth. Some things say double. Some things say four times as much. You know what Zacchaeus said? "I'm not going to peddle over. Is it one-fifth? Is it half? I'm just going to go for the top. I'm going to give back one-fourth of anything I've defrauded from anybody else." That's a change of heart, church. That is evidence of salvation in its fullest. And then we see the declaration of salvation. Verse 9, when Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham." Son of Abraham is a title for the children of God. Let me read to you again Galatians 3, verse 9. "So then those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham, the believer." That's a title for God's children, is the son of Abraham. He's declaring, he's pointing out there that there's been a life change because he sees the heart. Not only was it the heart, the evidence is there. You know, there's people who walk an aisle and say a prayer and think they're a Christian and there's no change in their life. I'm not the judge, but I'm going to tell you, I have a hard time believing that. Because out of gratitude and love and humility, a life changes when Christ comes in. When you have a defining encounter with Christ, when you have the defining encounter, it changes who you are forever. Not to say sometimes we're weak, yes, but our life as a whole has changed. And we see that verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." That's his story. I want to ask you, when I began this morning, I asked you a question. Could you recollect a defining encounter in your life? And I pray and I hope that you were able to say at least one yes. And that was to the defining encounter of Jesus Christ. If you can't say that, then today, you're right there where Zacchaeus was. You're no different. You have a defining decision to make. Because right now, you're at a defining moment for you to make that decision to encounter Him. And it's a defining decision because God gives you the right to say yes and receive Him, or to say no and to reject Him. That's the defining moment. Where are you? Maybe you're here today and that was the first thing that came to your mind when I asked, could you recollect a defining encounter? But you would possibly this morning say, Pastor, I know for sure that I have had that divine encounter, but because of some defining decisions, I'm no longer as close as I used to be. You know, Christ can be in us, and because of decisions we make, we can drift away from Him. Holy Spirit can become cold to us. Conviction can become cold to us. You too are standing at a defining moment with a defining decision in front of you. Do you choose to repent and draw closer to God? Or do you choose to stay where you are? You're still on the track. You're still headed to heaven. But I promise you, you're going to miss out on the glory of life right now. You're going to miss out on that life of being able to come under the shadows of the Almighty. Defining encounters happen more than once. We can have defining encounters daily with God through defining moments and defining decisions. Everyone in this room is sitting at a defining moment. You have a defining decision to make. Are you going to allow today to be a divine encounter with Christ for the first time and to receive Him and have your life changed forever? If you've already done that, are you going to make the defining decision to draw back closer to Him? Because let me tell you, if you are in this room today and you don't love, you don't desire, and you don't spend as much time with Jesus today as you used to, then you're what we call sometimes backslidden. You've drifted away. And praise God, we are not defined by that. We can make the decision today to have another encounter with Him and to seek Him, to throw aside the cultural norm. Forget your dignity. We all have dignity. But forget what others are going to think about you. And choose today to run at all costs to Jesus and His feet and have a defining encounter with Jesus. Would you bow your heads? Father God, in these next few moments, Father, every one of us, and myself included, are sitting at a defining moment of our life. Father, you've placed before us a defining decision, plain and simple. Do we want a defining encounter with you? Or do we want a defining encounter with the world? Father, speak to us this morning. Father, allow your Holy Spirit to revive a flame as you seek us. We think we're seeking you, but you're seeking us. Father, you're the one that does the saving. Would you revive us this morning to have that defining encounter with you? And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious, the most holy name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. I'm just going to ask that you stand where you are, just in the quietness of the next few moments. I'm not going to sing this morning. I want all of us this morning.